avyakto shara ikyuktas tanahur paramam gatim yam prapyana nivartante tadama paramam mama avyakta unmanifested aksara infallible iti thus yukta is said tam that ahu is known paramam the ultimate gatim destination yam which prapya gaining na never nivartante come back tat that dhamma abode paramam supreme mama my translation. So this verse is connected with the previous verse. These two verses are practically the same, but there are certain details that are different. Translation, that which the Vedantists describe as unmanifested and infallible, that which is known as the supreme destination, that place from which, having attained it, one never returns, that is my supreme abode. So in the beginning of the previous verse, the Lord talks about the same thing. One is manifested or unmanifested. This time he uses infallible. And then he says also it's never annihilated. And he said it's the supreme destination. It's eternal. When you go there, you do not return. That is my supreme abode. In other words, there's nothing higher. Purport. The supreme abode of the personality of Godhead Krishna is described in Brahma Samhita as Chintamani Dham, a place where all desires are fulfilled. So this point is very instructive, or you might significant. Everyone is trying to fulfill desires, and desires are the principle of life. Because you have desire, you are living. If you have no desires, it means you are not living. Desire is a symptom of life. And of course, there's two types of desires, and then there's a mixture of both of these. The two types are desire for happiness in this world, and the other one is desire for happiness in the spiritual world. And the mixture is whatever way you can mix these two desires. In other words, in proportion. Sometimes we go back and forth between the material and the spiritual trying to fulfill our desires. So there's a mixture. But unless desires are fulfilled, one doesn't feel satisfied or happy. Because everyone is trying to satisfy desire. Desire is a symptom of life. Desire is a principle of consciousness. Fulfillment of desires is the goal of life. Material, but we mistake in our desires as being something that we can achieve in this world. But in this world, no one can fulfill desires because things are always temporary and changing and full of misery. And our desires are something that we want to, something we want satisfaction, happiness, some type of gain, success. So there is a place where all your desires can be fulfilled completely, and Krishna says that's his abode. It's called Chintamani Dham. That supreme abode of Krishna, known as Goloka Vrindavan, is full of palaces made of touchstone. There are also trees called desire trees that supply any type of edible upon demand. And there are cows known as Sarabi cow which can supply limitless supply of milk. In this abode, the Lord is served by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune, Lakshmis, and he is called Govinda, the primeval Lord and the cause of all causes. Ishvara Paramakrishna Sat Chit Ananda Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karna Karnam. Now this refers to the first verse in the Brahma Samhita. The Lord is accustomed to blow his flute, Veno Kakwandantam. His flute, when he blows his flute, things happen that are unexplainable. The gopis' hair gets loosened, their clothes get loose. The rivers flow in the opposite direction. The trees, the hairs on the trees or the branches of the trees stand straight up in ecstasy. The cows become stunned and can't move. These are all symptoms of when Krishna blows his flute. In fact, his flute is his major weapon. He charms everyone from his flute. He gets whatever he wants from his flute. If he wants something to happen, he simply blows his flute, and the flute sound makes everything desirable for him. So his flute is not just simply a musical instrument that he uses. It's a way of showing love to others and bringing love to himself. And it's also a way of capturing the attention of all living entities completely and perfectly. The flute playing that we hear in this world may sound good. Sometimes we see a person is known as a great flutist, flautist, sometimes they say, right? And they play and everybody claps. But it's really nothing compared to Krishna's flute. In fact, and those of you who know the Gayatri Mantra is the sound of Krishna's flute. The first line in the Gayatri Mantra, which is Gayatri actually, is the sound of Krishna's flute. So Krishna's flute is so versatile in spiritual services. It does so much. Venam kavantam aravinda dalaya taksam parvaravam samaditam burasungarangam kantapa kautikamaniya vichesa sobham govinda mari purusham tamaham bhajami. His transcendental form is most attractive in all the worlds. His eyes are like lotus petals, and the color of his body is like the color of cupids. Is like the color of clouds, I'm sorry. He is so attractive that his beauty excels thousands of cupids. He wears saffron cloth, a garland around his neck, and a peacock feather in his hair. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna gives only a small head of his personal bowl, Goloka Vrindavan, which is the supermost planet in the spiritual kingdom. A vivid description is given in the Brahma Samhita. Vedic literature's Kathi Upanishads state there is nothing superior to the abode of the Supreme Lord, and that abode is the ultimate destination, Purusham Nam Param Kinshit Sakaste Paramam Gati. So Krishna's this purport we just read describes that verse from the Venum Kantam Pararavinda Valayataksam Ka, what is it? Kararavam Bhavitam Buddha Sungarangam Garbhagoti Kamaniya Vishesha Sobham Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami Alola Chandra Kavatara Vanaya Vamsi Ratna Vagali Savitara Visayam. What is it? That's the next verse, I can't. But here it's mentioned, and it's very significant, that if you want to know what the supreme world is like, the spiritual world, the descriptions in the Brahma Samhita. The Brahma Samhita, we don't usually give classes on the Brahma Samhita, and we find very few people talk about the Brahma Samhita. But because it's so deep and so filled of nectar, it is very difficult to speak. Of course, Prabhupada did mention that anyone who gives a class should mention at least one verse from the Brahma Samhita in every class they give. So that's interesting, because the Brahma Samhita takes you from a very detailed description of the spiritual world, which is in the very beginning, and then starts to describe Krishna. After it describes Krishna, then it describes the Vaikuntha realm. After the Vaikuntha realm, it describes the personalities, the glories of the great personalities, and then it goes into the material realm. So Brahma Samhita is very successive in describing coming from the highest all the way down to the last verse in Brahma Samhita before you get to the concluding narration of the description of the spiritual world. Now it's a very detailed and very intricate and very sweet and deep scripture. I've only known one person in the entire ISKCON society who has given a seminar on the entire Brahma Samhita, and that was His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami. In 1990, he gave a series of lectures. Mataji, please sit in the chair if it's more comfortable for you. I know you're a yogi, right? So it doesn't matter, right? But if you feel uncomfortable, because if you're comfortable, you can concentrate. If you're not comfortable, the concentration becomes hard. And then 1990, he gave a series of lectures on every verse. And in 1991, he did it again. First time he did it in Mayapur, and the second time he did it in Vrindavan. And, you know, when you do something the second time, you always do it better. So the Vrindavan lectures are really powerful. Both of them are powerful, though. So this scripture is really, really an amazing. It's worth studying, worth reading. Of course, we have, I think, Ananta Prabhu is looking at it right now, right? Is that it? Yeah, Brahma Samhita, yeah. So in that book, yeah, you can see really intricate explanations of these verses using very high English to describe the details. And that's Srila Bhakti Siddhanta's explanation. But Prabhupada, after describing this one verse in detail, he says, because this verse gives a nice overriding description, there are palaces made of touchstone. So a touchstone is a desire stone. There used to be a touchstone in this world at one time, but now this world doesn't have any touchstones. A touchstone is you take it and you put it on any metal and that metal turns to gold. That's what a touchstone is. Sanatana Goswami had one time. But he threw it away because he found that the holy name is better than the touchstone. So that's the only indication of anything on this planet. So palaces are made of touchstone. And there are trees called desire trees. And you can get anything you want from these trees at any time. It's like going to a supermarket and you have one tree, it's a whole supermarket. And you don't have to pay for anything. It's all free. And the tree, it is not only giving it to you, but can't wait for you to ask for it. It just wants a supply. So there's trees like that. This is not something fictitious, this is real. There are cows who can give you unlimited supplies of milk simply on demand. Krishna is surrounded by all these beautiful ladies. They're called goddesses of fortune. There are hundreds and thousands of them. And it's described, they clean the palaces in the spiritual world. But there's no dust, so they just clean anyway. Because it's their service to clean. Because everything's already clean, but still they clean. Yeah, it's described like that. And Krishna is playing on his flute. We mentioned a little bit about that. His form is so attractive that his eyes are like lotus petals. The color of his body is like clouds, blackish blue clouds. His beauty excels thousands of Cupids. If you could see Cupid, you would faint. But if you can see thousands of Cupids in one place, you would die, not just faint. He wears saffron cloth. His neck is garlanded with a beautiful garland, peacock feather in his hair. And this is a small little indication from that one verse what the spiritual world is like. The spiritual world, it says that all speaking is singing, all walking is dancing, and the constant sound is Krishna's flute. When I was living in New Vrindavan, we would have to travel from temple to temple within the community, and we'd have to go through the hills. And there was one temple that we named Vrindavan, and that was the one that was hidden in the most secluded place in the woods, up on a little hill. And that's where the Brahmachari stayed. First it was a Brahmacharini ashram, but then the Brahmacharis took over. And then, but when we used to walk that trail, there would always be a sign, and I would see it all the time. Vrindavan, where all talking is singing, all walking is dancing, and the constant companion is the flute. We'd see that sign all the time. Like that. When one attains the spiritual world, he never returns to this material world. Can you come back? Yes, but you don't. That's what Krishna is saying. Once you fall, you generally only fall once. Of course, some souls come again on behalf of the Lord to do the work of the Lord. So they're not under the influence of karma, nor do they fall. They're just coming as a messenger of compassion. But once you fall and you're back in the spiritual world, you still have your independence. Your independence is not lost at any time. You will remain an individual soul, whether you are liberated or whether you're conditioned. But in the liberated state, you still have your independence, and you can come back to the material world if you so desire, but you won't. You just won't. Because you know what a miserable place it is. It's like once you put your hand in the fire burns. And then you know, not putting my hand there anymore. So once you come to the material world and realize what it means to suffer, and once you somehow or other overcome that with your strong devotion, turn to the spiritual world, now you won't make that mistake again and want to come to this place. Even if it's Ljubljana, I know it's nice, but still, you still won't want to come. So that's why Krishna says you don't come back. Krishna's supreme abode and Krishna himself are non-different, being the same in quality. On this earth, Vrindavan, 90 miles southeast of Delhi, is a replica of the supreme Goloka Vrindavan located in the spiritual sky. When Krishna descended on this earth, he sported on that particular tract of land known as Vrindavan, comprising about 84 square miles in the district of Mathura, India. So it appears to be a material location, but Vrindavan is not. It's not located in this material world, but it appears to be. Over the Dham, there is a covering of material energy. And those who are not pure are associating with the covering. But those who are pure, they can see beyond the covering and actually see the Chintamani nature of the Dham. I'm speaking about the Dham in the material world. So when you go to Vrindavan in this world, if you have transcendental vision, although you see pigs and dogs and dirt, you don't really see that because that's just the coverings over the Dham. The Dham is not affected by that. But Kali Yuga is so strong that the coverings over the holy Dhams in this age is so strong that it's very difficult even for great spiritualists to penetrate beyond these external coverings. But there's spiritual vision. I see everybody's tired today, maybe because the speaker's tired too. When the speaker's tired, he puts everybody to sleep. Sabina, is that a meditation or are you just... I think she's gone. Oh. Okay. I thought you were practicing yoga. No. So, okay. So yeah, in this material realm of the spiritual manifestation, which is called avyakta, manifested. Vyakta means manifested, avya means unmanifested. So Krishna manifests his Dham, but when he leaves the material world and goes back to the spiritual world, that same Dham becomes unmanifested. And just like they say, if you go to Vrindavan, you can see Krishna's pastimes in many of the places. In fact, there's one place which is called Seva Kunj. Seva Kunj is a place that you don't go at night. You just don't go. Because Krishna is dancing with his gopis. And even people who are not so advanced, if they go there, they can see that. But if they do, they don't come back. And they don't go to the spiritual world either. In other words, Krishna is still having his private rasa dance in Vrindavan Dham, but on an unmanifested platform. But still, because it's such a powerful, just like in that prayer to Damodar, we'll be coming up to Kartik, the Damodar Astika. In the last verse, in the last line of that last verse, it talks about Krishna's unlimited pastimes. So what is it referring to? Krishna is referring to the rasa dance, which is the king of all pastimes. There's where Krishna excels himself in loving relationships. That loving relationship is at the height of Krishna's prowess. And the gopis are the only match for Krishna's love. And it's a really amazing pastime. But even now, in this material existence, those pastimes are still going on. So if anyone goes to Seva Kunj at night, they don't come back. They're not supposed to see what they're seeing, they see. It's guarded by monkeys, so a lot of times the monkeys keep people away. But still, sometimes people want to get curious, and that's the last thing they do. And that's, everyone knows, don't go and save a coons at night. So Krishna's pastimes are vyakta and avyakta, manifested and unmanifested. But either way, they're eternally existing. They're always existing like that. So here it's described in the spiritual world, they're constantly manifested. And therefore, the idea is to purify yourself and go back to the spiritual world. And the Brahma Samhita will give you a very detailed explanation of the spiritual world, of Krishna, and some of his intimate associates, just to inform you what is the nature of that realm, but at the same time attract you to want to go back to the material, spiritual world. In this world, no one can have a perfect relationship with anyone. It's like some of the most wonderful love stories in the history of our literature that is available. They end in tragedy. Romeo and Juliet, what happened? They both committed suicide. Everyone says that sounds nice, you know, Romeo and Juliet. So in this world, we may find some relationship on this level, but we can know it's not as perfect, nor can it ever be as perfect as our relationship with Krishna. Because Krishna is the perfect husband, he's the perfect lover, he's also the perfect friend, the perfect child. So everyone can have a relationship with Krishna as we have relationships in this world with people on this level, but in that relationship it's perfect. Thank you for coming. You're going for yoga? Huh? I can't hear you. You're meeting a friend? Oh, different kind of training. Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you for coming to our training class. So the spiritual world is unimaginable by material calculations and any form of calculations. So we can hear about it, we can read about it, and we can aspire for it. Like that. So and it's the birthright. You are qualified to receive the mercy of returning to the spiritual world, because that is where you started from. We all left home. It's like we left home and we're wandering around. We don't know who our father is. We don't know where our happiness can be found. We're poverty stricken. We're going from place to place looking for something to satisfy us. But if you go back to your home, just like sometimes when you're on a journey, even in this world, you travel so much and then you come back to your home, you think, oh, so nice. You go to your room and you sit there and you're peaceful and everything feels good. So that's a material example. So in the same way, once we return back to the spiritual world, we will think, oh, there's nothing better than this. And Krishna, as we mentioned before, Krishna wants us back more than we want to go back. So he has to trick us, just like the example is a child who is sick and the father is trying to give medicine, but the medicine's bitter. So he mixes it with some sugar candy to make it taste good. And then the child can take it. Otherwise, we don't want to go back because we feel like this. So Krishna tries to makes it sweet by somehow or other, attracting our minds in some way or other. So we start to desire to go back. As Prabhupada said, very few souls in this world want to go back to Godhead. But if you do, Krishna becomes eager and he helps you to do those things or to develop the right mood where you can again return into the spiritual world. The key is to develop an attraction for hearing and chanting Krishna's glories. We have Krishna's pastimes in the Bhagavatam. We have Lord Chaitanya's pastimes in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Mangala. All the pastimes of the Lord, the activities of the Lord, which are just so full of nectar. They're rasavaisal, they're full of sweetness, charm the minds, charm the hearts. So we should adopt a regular principle of hearing Krishna's pastimes, Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, every day. We have so much service to do, and that's nice. But our real service is to become a lover of Krishna. So our service is meant that's a way to show our love for Krishna. Our service is meant a way to show our love for Krishna. But if our service doesn't bring us to that, then we have to understand what we need to do. And most of the time it's just more hearing and chanting about Krishna's pastimes in a direct way, right from scripture. And of course the acharyas, the Goswamis especially, have written so many books on the pastimes of the Lord. Rupa Goswami's Ujwala Nilamani, Sanatana Goswami's Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Jiva Goswami's Gopal Champu, what else? Raghunath Das Goswami's, what was it? The Pearl Pastime, you know that one? You know that pastime with the pearls? That's sweet. Krishna competes with the gopis. And who else? Yeah, those are the four Goswamis that mostly wrote about Krishna's leelas like that. And of course, we have so much tattva to support the leela, to give us deeper understanding of the meanings of the leelas like that. Yeah, so go back home. Stop your roaming and look for your homing. Anything else? What would be a good? Let's come up with some rhyme. I'm wandering around in the dome. I don't know where to roam. I'm looking for my home, but I cannot find it because I'm all alone. Something like that. So we want to, we want to make this place short and return back. Now there's devotees who want to come back and preach. That's also glorious. But before you can do that, you have to purify yourself, where you can qualify to go back home, and then Krishna will engage you in preaching work if that's your desire. Mm-hmm. Panchatattva. Makam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Sarubakam Bhakta Vataram Bhakta Kyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. Ajanu lambita bhuja okana kamatato sankirtanai papitaro kamalaya takso. Vishwambaro dvijabaro yugadharma falo vande jagatpriya karo. Karuna avataro. Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityanando Sanodido Karodaya Pushpanvanto Chitta Sando Tamonudo. Just like Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are like the sun and the moon rising over the horizon of Gaudiya to give light in this age of Kali. Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sanodido. This is Bengali. Karodaya Pushpanvanto Chitta Sando Tamonudo. So there is a moon and there is a sun. Lord Chaitanya is like the cooling moon, and Lord Chaitanya is like the blazing sun. Both give light, both give nourishment, both give happiness. So in using that analogy, they're compared to the sun and the moon. Mm-hmm. Any questions or comments? I don't know who to choose first. So many hands are raised. We'll take you in alphabetical order. Okay, Ananta's first. His name starts with an... No, wait a minute. Alex is first. A-L is before A-N. Yeah. Okay. I'm just changing Vaishnava etiquette accordingly. Okay, what's your question? Okay. Yes, Urugai. That's a pretty good ring. That was a long conversation. Okay. Yes. You were just saving him, that's all. Okay. You have a question over there?
Yes, Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj.
You want to know what's for lunch tomorrow?
Srila Prabhupada gave us actually everything that we need to go back to the spiritual world. But I don't really have any strong desire to return there, so what is wrong with
it? Yeah, and because you don't know the benefits of returning there. You have to learn. That's why these descriptions of the spiritual world are mentioned, to help us. And if you don't have enough attraction for the positive, then we have the kicks of Maya. Maya just kicks you until you think, well, why is it so miserable here? Because it is. What are the miseries? Birth, death, disease, and old age. But what is the misery for a devotee? Devotees can be happy in Krishna consciousness and serve nicely, but what is their misery? They're separated from Krishna. They want that association with the Lord again. So we have to develop that attraction for Krishna, so we want to go back to Krishna. Otherwise, we have to stay in this. We don't want to stay mixed devotees life after life. Sometimes in one situation, sometimes in another situation. Yes, Anatta, you have something? No.
It's not actually a question, but connected with the theme. How is look like on the other side? It is connected with the person. You see there? The
Prabhupada?
Yeah, that picture's there.
Which picture?
You see? There's a small picture there of the devotee. Ambika Padmini.
Yeah.
She just passed.
Oh, really? Today?
1 week, 2 weeks ago. In 1 week, in Mayapur.
Yeah.
She was mother of Damodara Krishna.
I know her well.
Yes.
She actually wanted to take initiation from me at one time. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe, I think she wanted second initiation or something.
She's Javatek Maharaj, second.
Mm-hmm. Who?
Javatek Maharaj.
Yeah. Okay. Something, she was coming to me for something. Yeah, I always see her in Mayapur. She would be in a wheelchair.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. It's just purifying them from all their... Because suffering is purification. When you go through physical suffering, especially towards the end, you're burning off all your bad karma. That's why a lot of times devotees don't want to take any kind of medications, because they don't want to go unconscious or numb the pain, because they want to burn that pain off. They burn that karma off, what's left, and then like that. Doctors can't understand that. But devotees understand, yeah. So for a devotee, that what appears to be a lot of suffering, I mean, it is difficult. Is just preparing them for the final destination, that's all.
It's worthwhile.
Yeah. I coming from her, I believe it.
Yeah, I saw.
I mean, Damodara Krishna, to me, is a very powerful devotee. No, not only that way. spiritually, he's also very powerful. Yeah, that way too.
Yeah. We have connection of it.
Mm-hmm. That's a nice point. Thank you. So that's better than my whole class, just what was said in that one line. I'm reading from Shastra. He's talking Shastra. He's showing what was called living Shastra. Okay. So we can stop here. Okay. So get your ticket for Goloka. Get a front row seat on the train back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada, the captain of the train, Kija.